In our study together in the Gospel of John, we spent a little time on understanding or trying to understand what life is, L-I-F-E. And we took time to define it biblically and historically and realistically, humanly. And we did that with life, to look at life. Let me add just one other thing before we proceed. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, you have to turn there. In there, you begin the wonderful public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he goes officially and starts in demonstrating all that he has done and all that he has done, dying on the cross, all that he is and all that he wishes. And all of that includes whosoever. And so when you read chapter 4 and onward, it's all about what God can do with any whosoever. What God can do for them. Now, if I may, Deuteronomy chapter 30, going back a step. You remember Israel was reminded before they went into the land of Canaan that they were to have a choice. They could either choose to believe or not believe, to go forward in a positive way or a negative way. And God gives them that choice, you know, in verse 15, chapter 30. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Going down to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record, to bear witness, to give testimony. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I admonish you in the light of your heart, attitude, character, conduct. You're going to go in the wrong direction. You're going to drink, here's all the different things in life, and you're going to drink that which ends up in death and not life. Cursing and not blessing. You're going to make the wrong choice. I am going to tell you all the choices are out there. And I tell you to make the right choice. Choose life. Choose good. Choose God. Choose. Make a choice. And live, and live, and live. Make the choice. I'll tell you how to make it. Now, having said that, over if you would, back to the Gospel of John. And in chapter 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And may I pick up in thought, verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15. And you remember the context and the flow as we did it. But I'm going to go directly, if I can, 3 and 15. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To believe in him. That's the word. Whosoever would believe. Anyone that would believe. Believe. And the little word believe, to be persuaded, to be fully convinced, fully assured, absolutely certain, no question, so full of confidence that you sit down as we have done often, as you sit in the pew, you put all your weight down on the pew. You trust the pew, you never tested it, examined it, you put your weight down, and you put your full weight down on that pew, and you discover when you do that, that the pew that is meant to hold you, hold you. You would never know that it holds you till you sit down. And then, as you would know, by your sitting there, we know that you believe the pew is a pew, that you believe, and we know that you believe that it holds you. Why? Because you're sitting on the pew. That's why we know. You are demonstrating your belief. Have faith in God. Put yourself in God totally. Believe. Whosoever that would believe, believe. Believe into. And the little word, you're going to see it over and over again. I'm not going to mention it again. But as we read the next several statements, all of them, the little prepositions the same. To go, like, to go through the door, into the room, and sit down in the pew. To enter, to believe, to enter into, and then rest down upon the little preposition. Now, we're going to see it over and over again, but I just want to let it get to us. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be perishing, but be having everlasting life. Whosoever believeth, the one whosoever believeth in him, again, and they're going to be saved. They're going to have everlasting life. They're not going to perish. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn and judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, judged, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe, resting down, to come through the room and sit down on the pew, to come through to get to God and then rest in who he is and what he has said. Now, over to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God, each time, believe into, believe on. If you don't believe into and believe on, you are judged. But you have the right to choose life and be saved. You also have the right not to choose life and be lost. You have a choice. Now, verse 36, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The word see, the Hebrew see, to experience. Shall not experience, to have an experience of life. But the wrath of God abideth on him, on the person. Now, with that in mind, over to, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, I said 1 so that you can get to 2 easier. 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Now, if you didn't know anything else and you just read what we just read, what God said, you'd know that you could raise your hand that you're a whosoever. You know that if you're a whosoever, and you could be a whosoever that believes or not believe. You can be whatever kind of whosoever you want, a believer or an unbeliever. Take your pick. Choose this day which choice you make. Now, having said that, chapter 2, Timothy, 1 Timothy, verse 2. Praying for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. It is God's will, verse 4, for what? If you didn't know anything else, you don't know anything, it is God's will for everyone to be what? Saved. You don't have to be a genius. God's will to be saved. And to come to a knowledge, to come to a knowledge of the truth, of the truth. Not error, truth. Not deception, truth. God, it is your good will. We sit in your presence, and it is your will that we would all be saved. Is that correct? Not one person in this room, in this state, in this country, on the planet Earth, not one person is exempt to be saved. True? All can be saved. And to come to a knowledge of the truth after being saved. Now, so we know that it is God's will, God's wonderful, sovereign, saving will, His grace. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, in the light, well, before I do that, in verse 4, who will have, and the word W-I-L-L, will, used 209 times, I think, New Testament. Will, to be willing, inclined to something, disposed for something, to choose. The will serves the body, the soul, the spirit. Human will is the responsible agent, responsible, makes us responsible. We wouldn't be, if we didn't have a will, we wouldn't be responsible. But because we have a will, we are responsible. And the will is responsible to respond to the whole body physically. And God's will responds to His wonderful person and presence. And will is the ability to decide. I will, I decide. We have a word, Latin word, volition. The will, to choose. To exercise the will, volition. Decision to do things. And all of you, every one of us are making decisions all the time. And you would make a decision to open your Bible or not open your Bible. If I say turn to Ezekiel 99, you could all turn there, but you won't find it. You could all turn there, or choose not to. You have a will, I could pull my ear or not pull my ear. I choose. You're choosing all of the time. You're believing in one form or another all of the time. Just like we had last week, etc. In order to come and get the 2 gold coins, in order to get the, etc., you had to come and believe that it was there for you in front of you, and you had to come and believe that. Had nothing to do with being a believer. It just meant you had better believe or you couldn't come and get it. You believe that it was a gift and it was for you if you would take it. And each one of you went up and got something. And the only way you could get it was by believing. And God has something. God said, if you believe humans, you had better believe me. 1 John 5:10. Now, so in the light of that word, the will, to will, to choose, to make a decision. Now, I have to add to this to get our point. There is a word out there, theologically and otherwise, called depravity. Depravity, that has to do with being crooked, something that's crooked, something that is perverted, something that's fleshly. Guided and being governed by our human nature makes us depraved. And the will expresses the nature, our human will. We choose. And what we choose, how we choose, gives an expression. It shows our human being. It shows our behavior by what we choose and don't choose. And we're doing, when we do that, we do what comes naturally to us in our normal nature. We do what is characteristically belongs to our human nature, and we willfully will to exercise our human nature. And our human nature comes out not always very good, to say the least. Now, in the light of that, sin destroyed our ability to be good, not our responsibility. You have responsibility. Everyone does. So sin never got rid of your responsibility. It just said you had a problem that you need to do something about. And thus, we would say the same thing, a person that was on drugs or something else, some other thing. That they are on drugs, but they are not free from being responsible. They are responsible, no matter how you cut the cookie. And there's all the different theological and philosophical and all kinds of psychological reasonings, you know. And we've done them to show you. Now, in the light of that, so total depravity, crooked, corrupt, one's being cannot be conformed to God and God's good will all by ourselves. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We don't have any ingredient. We don't have any power. We don't have any of the ingredients to come out right to make it good. So now, in the light of that, just keeping that up front, if you would. So therefore, when you say depravity, we don't have any ingredients in us. In and of and by ourselves, we cannot produce it. So we need outside help. Whosoever believeth, we need outside help. God would have, God's will is for all men, all humans, to be saved. That's God's will, God's decision, God's desire, in his sovereign saving grace. Now, and so in the light of our old nature, in the light of our depravity, if you would, it does not mean, as you know, that a sinner, a human being apart from God, is thoroughly as evil as possible. No one is as bad as they could be. And I could take all kinds of ways we've done this so that you know it. But I'm going to do it in one place so you can see it. Over, if you would, you're right here, not far away, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. A person is not as bad as they could be. Not at all. And thus you remember in Genesis 11, without turning there, in Genesis 11, God said, if I don't go down in the Tower of Babel and scatter them, if I don't go down, they will do evil. Right now, they're at this level. And if I don't go down and break it up, it's going to be at this level. You remember in the Genesis flood before that, they did evil continually, and then they did evil thoroughly. Thoroughly. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're going to be worse and worse and worse. Now, if they aren't as they're bad, then they're going to get badder. They're not going to get gooder. Going to get badder. Going to go from bad to worse. That's what's going to happen. So, we aren't as bad as we could be. No, we could be a lot worse. Don't you know? Don't all of us could be a lot worse, couldn't we? In all kinds of ways. We could be meaner and badder. And fortunately, we aren't. When you go to the grocery store, fortunately, people aren't as mean as they could be. They could tip your carriage over. They could jump in front of you. They could do all kinds of things. But fortunately, they aren't. And they aren't as mean as they could be. In a hurry. I've been like that. I got to get out of the store. And some lady's leaning over the counter talking to the cashier. And I'm trying to tell them, move. I got to get in there. See? I said, I only got one item. Just one item. See? And they just talk and talk. It isn't as bad as it could be. Humans are quite capable of being worse. Secondly, persons cannot even tell good from evil. They can tell. Humans can tell good from evil. They can tell it. They know what good and evil are. You don't have to be saved to know good and evil. The Lord, Deuteronomy 30, choose good, not evil. We make choices. We do. And thus over, if you would, for time's sake. Isaiah, if I can, you know it, it's a wonderful, helpful statement to understand the day in which we live. It's an old approach. It works very good. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them, in the list of woes. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them, verse 20, that evil good and good evil. Now, you couldn't do that if you didn't know the difference. And you don't have to be saved to know the difference between good and evil. You know it. You are responsible. That's right. Awesomely responsible. And we could go on and illustrate. We are definitely responsible. A person is capable of doing human good. People can do human good. You don't want to say people. God is good, and the good that God requires, humans cannot produce. In humans dwelleth no good thing. But humans can produce good, so you have to, that'd be like saying humans can't be happy. They can be happy, and you don't want to say they're sad because they aren't saved. No, they could be glad doing what they do. They just start enjoying it. They're doing it from a human, earthly level that is very volatile and up and down, off and on. Thus, over if you would, please. Matthew chapter 7. And picking up in Matthew chapter 7. Remember, a person is capable of doing good, human good. And they are. That doesn't make you saved. It just means you can do good. Comparatively, good and evil. We call evil good and good evil so that we can live in evil as if it was good, and look at good as if it was bad. Chapter 7, Matthew, picking up, please. Verse 9. Now, what man is there of you whom, if his own son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if you ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So humans aren't as bad as they could be. They aren't as bad as they could be. And they can do good. They can be reasonable from a human standpoint. And you remember in Leviticus and all that stuff, reading it, that they would know good and evil. God would tell them to give an accounting whether something was good or whether something was bad. And so a person is capable of doing good. A person is thus responsible. A person is running and working with their bankruptcy so that in all of our human effort, energy, exercise, we pull out nothing but well water down in here that isn't good. It's just no good. Bad stuff. It's the ingredients that make for death. So we pull it out of ourselves. And we do it. And in doing so, we demonstrate our bankruptcy very much so. And the solution is outside of ourselves. And if you took time, you may want to, why not? Over to Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, and you'll notice that this kind of problem we have is a total problem, and we reflect that problem. And you'll notice in Isaiah chapter 1, picking up, please, God's diagnosis of Israel, verse 4. Our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. How so? From the sole, verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head. There is no soundness in it. The wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You are in bad condition, Israel, all the way from your head to your toe. And thus, dear friend, here we are looking, and we don't want to call sickness. We got a problem. We have a problem that we cannot produce the intended life that God meant for us. It's His life. We cannot produce the righteousness that makes possible life. We can't produce that. We can't produce any good that is good enough. We just don't have it. We reach down in all parts of our body and mind and heart, and we can't bring it up. No matter what we do, how we do it, we have a new plan, a new program on how to be positive, how to be not negative, and we have all these programs that we could have, but they won't work. We're always pulling out the same stuff. We could know, the well, the paint the well. Remember the pig story, little pig story? The little pig, and pig likes the mud. Well, you want to train the pig. So you tell the pig, as if you're talking to the pig, and you talk to the pig and say, listen, piggy, we're going to go and help you to understand that we adults don't get into the mud. And so we have a little hat for you, has a little flower on it, and we have a little scarf to go around your neck, and we have a little shawl to put over your back. I want you to think human, little pig. Think like we do. And we sit at the table, and the pig looks, if you can just use your imagination, and the pig looks at the three carrots that you put in the plate, and the pig looks at that. Yeah. My. The pig says, listen, this isn't garbage. I want to go back out. And the minute you send the pig away from the table, the pig didn't hardly eat, and the pig goes away from the table, and you put it outside, and where do you find it? In the mud. It's a pig. No matter how you dress the pig up, no matter how you paint it, picture it, it's a pig. And it loves the muck. And it always goes back to the muck. We have an old nature that always does it. And God, no matter how we try to do it, doesn't come out for the good. We wish it would, but it doesn't. God, is there a way? Whosoever, over and over and over, whosoever believeth. Now, having said that, so we want to understand that. And don't get caught up in the thing of all the psychological stuff in that you lose out. Well, sin isn't, it's your environment. It's the environment that makes you do what you do. It's just blame somebody, blame something. Don't do that. Now, having said that, rather quickly, but enough, would you go over with me, please, to Matthew chapter 22? We are in need, humanly, we are depraved. No question about that. We don't have the resources to produce it. And that's without question. Now, in the human will, remember, you have the ingredients. I am, I will, and I ought. I am morally responsible, I ought. I have a volition, I will. And I am a person to make those decisions. God is I am, I will, I ought. God made us in his image and likeness. We have those wonderful characteristics, that part that makes us able to say, I will, I will. Now hang on. Matthew chapter 22. May I go directly to verse 3. Then, and sent forth his servants, our Lord did, to call them that were bidden to the wedding feast, and they would not come. They would not come. They wouldn't come. Chapter 23. Their will. They chose not to come. Chapter 23. In chapter 23, please. In verse 4. Going directly for time's sake. For they bind heavy burdens, Pharisees, scribes, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, 23 and verse 4, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's the word will, decision, inclination, to make a choice. They will not do one thing. They give all kinds of obligations, but they themselves do not have to do them. Now, over, if you would, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, said our Lord, that thou killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee. How often would, there's your word, God's will, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? On my end I willed it. On your end, you would not. You will not. I willed to do it. You willed not to do it. If you would. Over to chapter 19 of Luke. Luke chapter 19. To see it rather clearly. Luke chapter 19, picking up, please. In verse 14. I'll read verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, what were they saying? We will not have this man to reign over us. You choose, Israel chose at that time to reject Christ. And they vetoed the will of God. They vetoed it. Just like in the UN, the Security Council, Russia. Think of Russia, how many times they've vetoed things. To veto power. Veto. They willed to go against God. That's awesome. Now God gave them a will. It's a gift. They are responsible for using that gift. God gave them the right to will. He didn't want them robots. He didn't want them mechanized. He wanted them to choose his will. And they did not. But he gave them that, and he holds them responsible, and the wrath of God abideth on them. It's true they can't. But they can will, and they do will, calling good evil and evil good. Chapter 19, verse 27. But those mine enemies which would, there's your word, W-I-L-L, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. There's the word will. Now they willfully chose willfully chose not to believe. Wow. And you know, if you took time in 2 Peter 3:5, the world system in which lived and is living, they willfully, verse 5, choose to be ignorant. They willfully choose to be ignorant of the Genesis flood and everything else. It's obvious, but they choose to be ignorant. They will it to go against it. They know it's the truth, but they don't. They will against it. Wow. They veto it. They veto it. Veto it. Now, in the light of that, they have the power. God gave mankind the power of choice. Obedience unto righteousness or disobedience unto sin and death. You have to take your pick. Wow. Able to say no to God. To use the veto power that you have wrongly. In the garden, Genesis 2:17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to do one thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Show that you're going to go and honor me. Honor my, we can have every tree that I make. Don't eat of that tree. I just want you to demonstrate that you understand that as your creator, my will, W-I-L-L, is sovereign and over yours. Now, I don't want you to. Now, the devil went and overrode it. Now, don't you do that. Don't you do it. Don't you, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. In dying, literally Hebrew, in dying you shall die. Now, over if you would, please. In your Bible, to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 4. The human will, whosoever will. Sorry. And we sit there and say, oh, I don't. Do you realize you have your will? You will this, you will that, but you don't will God's will. And God holds us responsible for that. We have veto power to go against whom? The only God. Isn't that amazing? That's literally amazing. That God would give us veto power to speak against God, to go against God, not to believe God. No. Wow. Now, over our Lord, a perfect example. Let me pick up, please. Oh, I'm going to go to chapter 5 for speed. Chapter 5. And you will notice, John chapter 5, may I pick up, please? This is the perfect man showing us the perfect way to walk and go with God in the light of our will. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing as I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Or if you would, please. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me. The will of God, the will of God, the will of God. Lord, what did you do as perfect man? You trusted God perfectly. You trusted God with all your heart. That's what you did. Matthew chapter 29. Matthew chapter 29. To demonstrate. Did you go to 29? I was testing you. Chapter 26. That's a way to keep you awake, isn't it? To give you some funny thing that you can't find. And you say, well, boy, I don't know the Bible as well as he does. And you get lost. Wow. Chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 39, in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord, perfect man, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Veto power. Why did you give us the freedom of will? That you would be able to choose without being coerced, pressured, or anything. You would be able to make a decision that my will, said God, is better than your will. And you yield to it. You veto your own will. No to me. No to my will. Yes to God's will. You got it? Veto power. Use it rightly. No, God, my will not so, your will. Now, verse 42. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. God, my will is reluctant in my perfect humanity to bear and take the penalty of sin of the whole world on my own being and pay the price of it, which is death. I don't want to do that in and of my perfect humanity. But my perfect humanity is meant for your perfect deity, for you to be Almighty God, for you to outwork the plan from the foundation of the world. You had Christ, you had me die before the world was ever created. God, not my will, but your will be done. Now, having said that, the deliberate choosing, the refuting of my own will, of his own will, my veto power, I veto myself. Do you ever do that? I veto my own will. I veto it. That's what God wants to see. Am I greater than you? Are you going to honor me? How am I going to demonstrate it? I choose his will over mine. I have a vote. I could say yes or no to God. And I choose to say yes and no to me. And all the angels, good and bad, pay attention. He is absolutely righteous in his saving grace to save a whosoever that would believe. And thus, dear friend, the benefits, wow. And without turning there, you know them, don't you? You know, in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, we're to work out our own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And then, you don't want to ever miss out. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to what? To will of his and to do of his good pleasure. See? You allow God to outwork his saving grace in your life. Well, how's that going to show up? Why would I choose God's will when I could have my own will and have my own way in whatever way I wish? Because to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to what you can prove, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, you mean to tell me that you have a wonderful, wonderful, you have made a decision for me to be saved. You made a decision for me to be as a son. You made a decision for me to have your wonderful sovereign grace, your mercy, abiding and overflowing in my little heart. God, wow. That's a big wow. It is, no question. And you said in John 15:7, if you ask anything in my will, I'll do it. If you abide. Like the vine, the branch stays. And whatever you ask in my will. 1 John 5:14, if you ask anything in my will, you know I hear it. And if you know I hear it, you already have it. You mean to tell me my will can yield to you, and you will outwork that which I don't know. You can outwork, you have all the pieces. You're able to take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. You're able to take the extraordinary and cause us to outlive it in an ordinary way, in eating and drinking, in coming and going. Wow. Huh. Hmm. Wow. And thus, you tell us after you have done the will of God, Hebrews 10, you'll what? Receive the promise. Do my will. Choose it. You have a right. Choose this day. Make a choice. Why can't I just fumble around? You can. You have the right to fumble around and, is it hard to say goof? Fall short. You have every right to be an absolute human casualty to all that God has for you. Totally bankrupt, living in bankruptcy with the rest of the bankrupt people. God. And you tell us your will. After you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. Well, I got to do the will. Well, what is your will? Well, just one thing, dear friend. What is it? You know from 1 Thessalonians, you may want to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I just want to bug you, get you to see it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. Picking up. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. 5 and 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the what? Now, is that so bad? Don't you want God's will? No, I don't want God's will. In everything, you give thanks. Why? Because God's going to outwork everything. All things work together for good. Not bad. Not bad. Good. It comes out good. Look bad, but it comes out good. Thus, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I vote yes, God. I vote yes. I vote yes in the light of your good and gracious and great and gracious will. God, I vote yes. Not my will, no, not my will. I'm in favor of your will, God. You have a wonderful plan and purpose for my life, and I can't, my body beats, my heart runs, the blood flows, the oxygen goes in and out, and all the stuff goes, and my God, the only way that this little old life is ever going to get a hold of why on earth did you give me breath, so that I would be able to point to you as a whosoever and honor you. That I would be given the right to say no or yes to you. And that you would encourage me to say yes. God, I choose it. I choose it. Veto power. Awesome veto power. The human right to say no to God. Wow. That's amazing. But once you understand why, it isn't amazing at all. Because the odds demonstrating to the angels good and bad. What? They said, you have no right to judge us, and hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. You have no right to send us there. God said, I do. You had a choice to honor me or dishonor me. You chose to dishonor me. You did it. And you can't say, I'm going to make humans just with a free will, just like you. And they're going to be able to have a choice. And they're going to be guilty. They're born with an old nature. And they're going to be able to say, God, you are absolutely right in condemning me. In me dwelleth no good thing. I cannot produce the rightness that is required. No matter how I try, no matter how much I will, but God, you are able in your grace to take a whosoever and give them the life, eternal life, so that they should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not condemned, on the contrary, commended as children of your own. God, deal with us. And we'll thank you in Christ's name, God. Deal with our head and our heart. Help us. Our God, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing for to have our will, our human will. God, we'll will what we have for lunch and et cetera, et cetera. God, to be able to choose you, wonder of wonders. Deal with our heart for those who know you not as Lord and Savior. God, convince them that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us, our God, who name your name, who believe and am resting on who you are and what you've done on Calvary's cross, God, deal with our heads and our hearts that we would be the immediate beneficiaries of it. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And perhaps we could sing, please, one stanza. Have thine own way. 816. 816. Thank you for your